And we're back on Sunday Morning Live on Easter Sunday. Happy Easter, everybody. Looking for a high today of 83 degrees under sunny skies. Right now, it's sunny and 70 degrees at Magic 102.1. And we have on the line Congressman Al Green of the 9th District of Texas. Congressman Green, good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, and happy Easter to you and your listening audience.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be on the air with you.
And first, I want to just thank you for taking time out on Easter Sunday to be with us. Obviously, one of the biggest stories in the country is the Trayvon Martin case. And I know that the Justice Department and the FBI, they're doing an investigation independent of what's going on the ground in Florida. But I'm not sure if you are aware of the story that just came out. NBC News has fired a producer for editing a recording of George Zimmerman's call to police the night he shot Trayvon Martin. A person with direct knowledge of the story said on yesterday, as the story reads, the person spoke on the condition of anonymity. The identity of the producer was not disclosed. And, of course, his dismissal followed an internal investigation that led NBC to apologize for having aired the misleading audio. Apparently, what happened is that he edited the dialogue between Zimmerman and the police to the extent that it, where the recording viewers heard was trimmed to suggest that Zimmerman volunteered to police with no prompting that Martin was black. It says that this guy looks like he's up to no good. He's black, but apparently that was edited to read that way. So they apologize for that. The producer has been terminated, and I thought that was significant in light of what's going on with the what we now know.
Well, I think that a good number of significant things have occurred, and I agree that that is one of them. The important thing for us to focus on when we look at this, generally speaking, is that there will be many things that will be disputed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon in cases like this for things to be disputed. But what is uncommon is that when we see that there is enough probable cause for an arrest, an arrest has not taken place,
mm-hmm.
That is something that is almost incomprehensible to understand that we have the Justice Department investigating. The governor has appointed a special prosecutor to investigate. We have lawyers now who are lining up to investigate. And there has not been an arrest. If it takes all of this to get an arrest in a case where an unarmed teenager has been shot, wherein there is, the surrounding facts are sketchy. It's very difficult to know what the actual facts are. Much of what we hear is hearsay,
right?
Because most of the people who are saying this is what happened were not there. They are repeating what somebody told them. But we do have enough to know that probable cause, which is, by the way, the belief that a person has committed a crime,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable belief that a person has committed a crime. So there is reasonable belief here that a person has committed a crime, but there has been no arrest. But I try not to personally get too caught up in all of the details because they're sketchy and there'll be some changes in some of these details. But the core issue is there probable cause to arrest? Now, it appears that there are some people who are confused and believe that you have to have guilt beyond a reasonable doubt before you arrest a person.
Mm-mm.
But that occurs at a trial. It is not unusual to arrest persons under these circumstances and let them go to trial, and then they can raise their various defenses that they have at trial before a judge or a jury, depending on whether the judge or jury will be the trier of the facts. But it is unusual to just allow a person to go free under these circumstances. And that is what all of the people who are out protesting are extremely concerned about. There are other things, too. But this just makes it unbelievable to understand that this is happening today.
Especially in light of our history as a country. And of course, you know, black right and on black and white relations with regard to the criminal justice system. So it's not, we know in the past, before the light was shown on cases like this, it would have probably been nothing else said. So,
well, it could easily have been the case in this case, but for some persons who were persistent, this new means of communicating by way of the Internet has just opened up a new world in terms of getting information to the masses. The masses would not be privy to this kind of information 20 years ago, surely, and maybe as far as back as 15 years ago. The masses just wouldn't have the information. But now, with the information out there and people understanding that it's the duty of the police to investigate, not to become judge, jury, and prosecutor all in one evening, such that this just sort of goes away.
Or the grant
things. Yeah, these things should not just kind of slip away into the darkness such that people go on with their lives and a person has lost his life and you've got a family that's suffering. And that's what they did. That night they became judge, jury, and prosecutor with the decision that they made to simply let Zimmerman go free. Let me add this. We have to have two investigations. We have to investigate what happened to Trayvon Martin. It's important to know what happened to this young man in the sense of what happened between he and Zimmerman. We need to know how he died, what happened to the extent that we can acquire the empirical evidence. That's important. Mm-hmm. But we also have to know what happened with this investigation. What happened to cause the investigation to go to be developed to the point that no charges were filed?
Yeah.
What took place that night between police and prosecutors who were talking to each other? And there's some sketchy evidence about one investigator saying he doesn't think that Zimmerman's story is credible, such that he would have charges filed. But these things need to be investigated, too. So that we need at least two investigations.
Yeah, especially on why was he overruled and who overruled him. I do believe I heard in the news on Friday that the gentleman who was alleged to have overruled the first detective now says, no, he didn't know anything about it. So that makes the story even more cloudy.
Yeah, all of these details are very sketchy, which is why I tried to stay focused on the core issue of probable cause. Because once we get an arrest, and this gets into the area of the judiciary, away from the constabulary, then you can find out what the actual facts are, who actually said what. There will be an opportunity to have the transparency that we don't have right now about what actually took place. Once this thing gets before an independent agency, a body known as the judiciary with a judge, then you can get a lot more intelligence because the court will be open to the public to hear what happened. That's the kind of investigation that we want to see, and I say investigation because once the arrest takes place, the investigation still continues. It's just that you will have more of what actually occurred exposed to the public through the court by way of a trial.
And apparently there's been no further contact or dialogue with Zimmerman by the police or even his own attorneys. So, again, we're getting third, fourth, fifth-hand stories.
You're absolutely correct. I greatly appreciate the fact that you have your Juris Doctorate. A lot of people are not aware of your being a student of jurisprudence par excellence. The point is, Zimmerman is exercising his right to remain silent, but his friends aren't. So his friends are coming forward with hearsay. They were not there. His lawyer is coming forward with hearsay. He was not there. They are now trying to frame a story about what happened, and they're floating these trial balloons to see how the public responds. Well, he will never have to respond to all of these statements because he's not making these statements. They're just hearsay. Somebody heard it, or they may even have made it up themselves. We just don't know how they acquired their intelligence, if they acquired intelligence at all.
And they're trying to pollute the jury pool.
Exactly. They are shaping the issue, framing the whole question of what happened that night from a perspective that benefits Zimmerman. But ultimately, I do believe there's going to be an arrest, but I also have to say this. It is just almost unthinkable that it takes this kind of activity to get the arrest. The Justice Department has to investigate. The state has to have a special prosecutor. We've had marches and rallies and protests. People across the length and breadth of the country are upset about it. And notwithstanding all of these polls that show that there's a little bit of a chasm between blacks and whites, the overwhelming majority of people think that there should be an arrest. Even those who don't think race is an issue, they think that there should be an arrest. And that's what we have to focus on. People of all stripes, for the most part, overwhelming majority, more than two-thirds, think that there ought to be an arrest, even if you don't think that race is an issue.
Yes. Now, isn't something supposed to take place on April 10th here in Florida?
Well, I don't know the date that there will be an arrest or that it will go before the grand jury. There is speculation about when things may be presented to a grand jury. But you don't need a grand jury to arrest in a case like this. That's one way of doing it. And there are persons who get a little bit concerned about a grand jury being brought in because many times grand juries appear to be the means by which you can justify things that ordinarily would not be justified.
Like
and
exoneration.
I'm trying to be kind. I don't want to use terms like whitewash. I don't want to use terms that carry with them certain negative connotations. I'm trying to explain this in an objective fashion. So there are people who get concerned, especially when they know that it is not unusual for prosecutors to file the charges themselves in cases like this.
Right.
And, you know, and I am not a legal expert, but just my common sense has always questioned, why hasn't an arrest been made? It seems like if an arrest would just be made, that would go a long way in just kind of tamping down this bubbling undercurrent of anger and frustration that's building out in the community, out in the country.
Yes, you're right. And I can give you at least one thought on this. Many times when we get to this point, the constabulary does not want to appear that it is being forced to do something. There is this mindset of we must do this in our own time, notwithstanding circumstances dictating otherwise. And I have just seen many cases where in persons, because they don't want it to look like someone made them do something, they will do nothing for an inordinate amount of time to sort of let it cool down so that when they do something, it can be said this was after the investigation and this is what we understand to be the case. We didn't do this because of public outcry. Well, you know, there is nothing wrong with doing something because of a public outcry when an injustice has been perpetrated. You want to immediately deal with injustice. Anytime justice is delayed, you are denying justice, and that family is being denied justice every second that an arrest has not been perfected.
And there's definitely an undercurrent of things going on in this country, not to want to directly tie the incident that just happened over this over the weekend, Saturday night, Oklahoma, to the Florida case. However, like I said, there's an undercurrent of, I don't even know the word to describe it, but there's something dwelling underneath the surface. And the longer one thing plays out, it could possibly lead to other tragedies and just other crazy things starting to happen in other parts of the country.
Yeah, Tulsa is a incident that I'm trying to get more information on. It appears that there were several shootings, three African-Americans dead, two whites arrested, two others wounded. Kind of a unusual situation, to say the very least. And many times these things do emanate from other things that are happening. I can't link this to what's happening in Florida, and I would not dare to try to do so. But in furtherance of what you're saying, we have to concern ourselves with this, what you call undercurrent, which is really something that continues to be there. And usually it is sparked by some action between the police and the community. This time it was a civilian and two civilians, but the police, in the way they investigated it, has created the concern. I think you're right. There has to be at some point this very frank, candid dialogue about race relations in our country. Until we do it, we will not get beyond the notion that African Americans believe that had Trayvon been another color, good many African Americans, not all, if he had been another color, the results would have been different. And by the way, there are a good many Anglo-Americans who think similarly. If he had been another color, there would have been a different outcome. And that discussion has to take place until we can conclude that a person, regardless of color, will get the same treatment. We need to have that discussion.
Okay, we're talking with Congressman Al Green of the 9th District of Texas. Congressman, do you have any idea when the federal the Justice Department will have a decision in their investigation?
The Justice Department is always careful. I've had an opportunity now to interact with them in other circumstances, and they are running a parallel investigation, and they will take all of the time necessary because they're looking at civil rights violations. Mm-hmm. And by the way, because of the change in the law that took place, I believe in 2009, they bring a considerable amount of resources to these investigations for the state to use if the state wants to work with the Justice Department, because many times an investigation of this magnitude can almost bankrupt a small police department. Mm-hmm. So the Justice Department will perform a parallel investigation, but it does not announce timelines when it performs its investigations. And I'm grateful to Attorney General Holder and, quite frankly, to the president for the way they've stepped up to the plate. The president made a very powerful statement without overstating, without actually taking sides, but indicating that, you know, Trayvon, if he had a son, he would look like Trayvon, and implying that there should be a thorough investigation. I think that the president has come forward, and a lot of people don't like it, but at some point, we have to address these issues in the highest offices of the land, just as we address them in our communities. They bubble all the way to the top.
Okay, let's go to line one and talk with Don. Don, you're on the air with Congressman Al Green.
Yes, good morning. Is the question...
Will you turn your radio down? Please turn your radio down.
Is the question of race inappropriate in the sense that if Trayvon Martin was, let's say, what the guy's name is, who played the
Zimmerman.
So what is the name, the actor? If that had been the actor's son, Martin Lawrence or Dean Martin's son or any prominent Martin, or if he'd been the son of a prominent black or well-to-do black, would those offset the issue of race, since Zimmerman is the son of a judge, I believe, a magistrate judge. So it does not just the issue of race, but class also play a role in the delayed arrest of Zimmerman, because that's what I'm looking at. I see the black culture really being pop culture, and so many have been influenced by black culture, per se, and I think it is a pushback on the culture of hip-hop, of freedom, of social media. And so what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, Don, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you for your call. I think you make an excellent point, Don, that class, as you have put it, and this has been a debate that's been going on for some time as to whether it's race or class, but I can see circumstances where it can be both.
Mm-hmm.
I can see circumstances where in your status, who you happen to be, can make a difference. But I can also tell you that there are many persons, professional people that I talk to, who believe that they are racially profiled. Now, what I think is being said is this. When they find out that, oh, this is another Martin Lawrence or some other, then it takes on a different circumstance, if you will. The outcome can become different because they then revert back to another mindset in terms of how the circumstance is to be dealt with. But you make a good point about class also being something that is a part of this overall discussion.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess this is a topic that obviously we'll get more information on in the next few days. But as we evolve from the Trayvon Martin case, I understand that the Supreme Court will be making a decision on Arizona v. The United States this coming week, I believe. Do you have any thoughts or insight on that?
What they will do, I believe, is the court may not make a decision this week. I expect it to be a decision rendered this term.
Mm-hmm.
The court is considering the case, mm-hmm. and this really is an opportunity for us to realize that Latinos and African Americans have a similar circumstance. Not the same. It is not the same, but it is very similar. And because of the similarities, we should try as best as we can to coalesce with each other. I think that the Latinos that work with the LULAC and other civil rights, human rights organizations have been very helpful in the Trayvon Martin case with us taking on this case. And it's a case for people of goodwill to take up. Well, the same thing applies to what's happening in Arizona and Alabama. In these states where they're literally passing laws that will allow profiling to take place. Now, the law doesn't say you may go out and profile, but given the history and the way the constabulary behaves, the way it tends to, it seems, talk to more African Americans about laws that may be broken than some others, how it tends to focus on Latinos about laws that may be broken than some others. When you pass a law that says you've got to have your papers on you, then you allow people who look like, in the minds of some people, persons who ought to be checked because they may not have papers, then that you make them suspect.
Yeah.
And people will stop them more often to see if they have their papers. And if they don't have their papers, they get arrested. And then they have to go through a process of defending themselves. Maybe you didn't have your papers there at home or some other place. Yeah. Now you've got to get a lawyer to defend yourself. And I would add this is very important. What this ultimately does is it puts in the hands of states the ability to profile people and not have to answer for it, because you now can always say, I had a right to stop this person, and I had a right to look into their papers because the law says that I can.
Congressman Al Green, I'd like to thank you for being a part of Sunday Morning Live this Easter Sunday and providing your insight on these two very important issues.
Well, thank you very much. Honor and happy Easter, everybody.
Thank you. It's 9:54, 6 minutes before 10 o'clock. You're listening to Sunday Morning Live on Houston's only R&B station, Magic 102.1. We're streaming at myhoustonmagic.com.